You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 18th, 2020, this news just breaking. President Trump says that hospital ships will be sent to the New York City area and the West Coast. He's also going to invoke a law to get more masks made. That word just breaking, so details are still developing. In the meantime, the Senate Majority Leader says the Senate is moving at warp speed, trying to come up with a proper and good, viable plan to help Americans suffering in this financial crisis. Not just the health crisis, but the financial crisis. The Dow today dropping below 20,000. And we have major industries up against the ropes right now. Airlines, cruise companies, and others. In the meantime, the Treasury Secretary said, we want to start sending out checks to Americans by the 6th of next month. A $250 billion direct payment to Americans starting April the 6th. Another $250 billion on May 18th. How much each will get will depend upon the size of the family and actual need. In the meantime, for all of those who were criticizing President Trump, saying he was getting nothing done and too slow to act, I remind you, the World Health Organization in January made it clear in its view there's no need to worry about this being a pandemic. On January 14th, repeating China's claim, this is not contagious among humans. When China knew better. And this president decided to stop flights from China at a much earlier time than others said it should have been done. And he bought us time to get ready. And then, of course, once we started the testing, here came the complaints again. This president did not get us ready for the testing. He's not done enough. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease doctor for the nation, said you cannot blame the Centers for Disease Control nor President Trump for a lack of the testing kits. He said there weren't any bad guys. It just happened. Suddenly we had an issue, and we did not have enough. We had a shortage. We're going to be addressing that and also what else has been exposed in our health system as a flaw or something needing correction later in this hour with a special guest. In the meantime, the latest numbers show more than 200,000 infected worldwide, 8,000 deaths in the U.S., something like 6,000 confirmed infected, about 120 deaths. Italy now showing it has one-third of the deaths in the global numbers. Italy, one-third. Its total of deaths, 2,500. The Prime Minister of France is warning the United Kingdom, if you don't come up with stricter measures to combat the spread of the virus, Britons will not be allowed to travel from Britain to France. And in the meantime, the French and Italian governments considering measures to possibly help their airline industries by nationalizing the airlines. And, of course, when it came to Vegas yesterday and the day before, some of the resort properties began to shut down on their own, deciding we cannot continue to do business. We're going to go ahead and close the casino doors. And then, of course, the Nevada governor decided to issue a proclamation ordering the casinos, movie theaters, bars, restaurants, be closed by noon today. President Trump announcing earlier today, working with Canada, we are securing the border. No one will go across if it's a non-essential travel. It will not affect trade and cargo. But our problem, of course, continues to be our southern border and the illegals that continue to find their way across our border. And if any of them are carrying the virus, we won't know until it surfaces maybe in a neighborhood near you. Do you hear the left saying, yeah, we do need to tighten border security? Oh, no. And you won't hear them say it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're taking aggressive action now as one nation and one family so that America can rebound stronger, frankly, stronger than ever before. And we recognize that while many American workers can work from home, many others cannot. Many of our health care providers, first responders, and men and women in the food service and manufacturing are showing that they're showing up and standing up to provide us with the goods and services we need.
President Trump, one saying we're going to deal with this as a family, because we are a family of Americans. And we want everyone to be well and healthy. We want our nation to be healthy. We want our economy to be healthy. And those who want to work, we want to make sure they have jobs. And those who have jobs, we want to make sure they get paid. Even in the midst of a crisis like this. I stated when we began today's program that President Trump is dealing with this as if on a war footing. A president dealing with a war. Some might mock that and think, oh, that's a stretch. Really? You think so? You think so? You think that dealing with this virus and containing it, controlling it, taking care of Americans in the process, and making sure that those who can't go earn a living right now because they either need to self-contain and isolate or because their business has been shut down, you think it's not important to them that the president takes that attitude, that approach? I'd mentioned previously in the news and commentary, back on January the 14th, the World Health Organization, as it began to unveil the story of what was going on with the Wuhan virus. They were at that time trying to calm any fears of a pandemic. The official statement from the World Health Organization, preliminary investigations conducted by the Chinese authorities have found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission. But we were not allowed to send in our own experts from the CDC. China would not allow them to go in. And as you heard, and I read from that statement from the World Health Organization, the investigations conducted by the Chinese authorities, which means raise a red flag, literally. Do you think they're going to be telling you the exact truth? They lie to their own citizens. Do you think they would not lie to the world? And so for that period of time, this is again January 14th, the disease is already rampant in Wuhan, China. And we're told you don't need to worry about a pandemic. Now, an epidemic they had in China at that point. Epidemic is a disease contained basically to that territory, that region, but won't go beyond the border. A pandemic is global. And where are we today? We are global. 200,000 plus confirmed infections around the world. Death, 8,000 around the world. And on our shores in the U.S., 100 plus deaths and 6,000 confirmed cases. And we did get an advantage when President Trump decided, regardless of what the Chinese are saying, and regardless of what the World Health Organization is declaring, this government's putting out an order, no more Chinese airlines direct from China to our country, no more Chinese citizens coming through. And immediately he got called a racist, xenophobic, and I have yet to hear one liberal come forward and say, you know what, we should thank this guy for taking the step he did at that moment. But you're not going to see that. And what we're trying to do now, of course, is come up with money to help our economy. The Dow today dropping below 20,000. Everything this president has done to make America great again, get the economy going, is hurting because of the virus. Because we have to close down numerous businesses to stop the spread for at least 14 days, maybe longer. And businesses are being hurt directly. Airlines, travel companies, cruise companies, various service industries, their employees also being hurt. And if they're just a salaried paycheck-to-paycheck person, they're going to be hurt the worst. So again, this president is moving forward, pushing money to help deal with it. Now, in the original projection, he had been forecasting $2.5 billion. That was just to fight the disease itself. And the Democrats wanted to throw more money into it. Well, that's okay. You want to give more money for it. But let's make sure it's spent on this and not some of your pet items like pay for college tuition. And then as we begin to look at the ripple effects across the industry and how many places we're actually going to have to shutter their doors, casinos, theaters, restaurants, either on their own or now being ordered in some areas to shut down, which put their employees out. And then, of course, the issue of testing, getting the test out, taking care of people. Vice President Pence addressed that, said, everything we're doing is the best coordinated effort we can put forth.
We're going to be supporting state efforts. We're going to be working with them to make sure that those great retailers, which are CVS and Target and Walgreens and Walmart, that are opening their parking lots for drive-through centers, are included. But the American people can be confident that now that we have the commercial labs around the country with those high-speed automated tests, you're literally going to see tens of thousands of tests in the days and weeks ahead for the American people.
Vice President Pence. And the reason we're doing it this way is because the president realized we need to involve private enterprise in this war. And had the heads of CVS and other pharmaceutical groups and so forth come together and say, show us how best we can go forward. And also we've had regulations and red tape that needed to be cut and thrown aside. I've got a guest coming up later in this hour to talk about the flaws and troubles and issues this virus has exposed inside our health plan. It's also pointing out some good things, but also let's take a chance to learn, take it as a teaching lesson. And this battle for money, you've got a coordinated bipartisan bill out of the House. The Senate's working on finalizing some parts to it. We're looking at a $1 trillion package. And again, the Treasury Secretary planning to get out $250 billion in checks to individual Americans to help make up for their pay that they're losing at this point and get those checks out by the 6th of next month as a beginning. And I want to give credit to some Democrats who are actually helping get this done. I tell you all the time about leftists who fight every step of the way. But out of California, Congresswoman Kahana, and out of Ohio, Tim Ryan, commending the president's support for cash payments for working Americans. This is the Emergency Money for the People Act. It would provide monthly checks between $1,000 and $2,000 to every American who earned less than $130,000 last year. As Congresswoman Kohana, I hope I'm pronouncing it correct, out of California said, Americans need emergency cash now. Our economy has to get stimulus from immediate spending. And they're praising President Trump. They are among the few. For the most part, you've got those like this politician, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat, criticizing President Trump, saying he acted too late and did the wrong things. In other words, he's made it a bigger mess.
The federal government did not take this seriously early enough, and now it is on us to make sure we're doing everything we can based on the best facts and science available, and that we are always putting the health of our people front and center. So it was a tough decision to make, but we know that the spread of this virus is dependent on close proximity, and this was one of many steps that we're taking in the state of Michigan.
And by that, she's saying, I, as the governor of Michigan, told everybody, you need to self-quarantine. Well, others have said the same thing, as did the White House. And her remarks that the federal government did not take this seriously enough. I just told you, I just documented for you how this president made a decision early on to stop flights from China coming into our country because the Chinese were lying. And even though the World Health Organization said, oh, it's not going to be a pandemic, we said, we're going to stop the flights until we get a better handle on it. And for that, he got called racist. And there's a Democrat Party-aligned super PAC that's coming forward, gathering money to attack President Trump for how he's handling the coronavirus. Even as a nation is struggling with it, they plan to spend $5 million on digital advertising attacking what President Trump has done. $5 million. Hey, Democrat Party PAC, you got $5 million. Why don't you give it to citizens who don't have a job right now because their business had to be shut down? Oh, no, we'd rather spend it to attack Trump, say he's not helping. As if you are. You got this actress Vanessa Hudgens, another dense Hollywood elite, now having to apologize because she was talking about self-quarantining and the distancing. She said it's BS. She said people are going to die from this. It's inevitable. It's just BS that we self-distance. Well, she did get slapped back by others, even liberal media. And so then she came forward and said, oh, it's a virus. Yeah, I get it. I respect it. You guys just misquoted me. No, they didn't. They quoted you directly. Same thing with director and left-wing activist Rob Reiner. You know what he's saying? Trump has to be removed if we're going to defeat the spread of the, if we're going to defeat this virus. He said, we will get through it, but unfortunately, not with the help of this president. Rob Reiner, meathead, I should say, out of the old Archie Bunker series, says, first, Trump must be removed from the public square to let competent experts take over. Then he must be removed from office to allow us to heal. It's the resist movement again. They're not going to give him credit for what he's done. They're not going to stand in line and even assist. They're going to continue to snipe and attack and say, we're only going to get through this if we get rid of Trump, as if he started it. Oh, I got another one. I've got a major legal analyst on one of the major networks saying that Trump should be found guilty of negligent homicide because of how he's responded to this virus. Negligent homicide? Will you stick around and hear the rest of that story? It's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. So again, on January the 14th, the World Health Organization told the world, don't worry. China says a virus they're dealing with in Wuhan, China, is not contagious. China knew better. Information later came out that the Chinese had identified the virus as early as mid-December, but were instructed to destroy both test results and their samples. So then the official word went out from China that, nope, it's not contagious. It can't be passed person to person. It's all something that'll be contained here. January 14th, World Health Organization carried the water for the Chinese and said the same thing. But we were beginning to have our doubts because we were not allowed to send in members of our CDC team to go check it out. And the administration began putting pressure on airlines, and they in turn made their moves, and the president ended up making a declaration. But three major airlines, as of January 31, started limiting flights from China. And then they began to stop it entirely. But January 31, they did it. They started. And then we moved forward to make it official. That's what the president did for us. So here comes this legal analyst, Glenn Kirshner, from MSNBC. MSNBC. I'm legal analyst Glenn Kirshner. And he's arguing. He says, can we talk about something I know too much about myself? Homicide, because I am a lawyer. Yeah, he spent 22 years as a federal prosecutor in D.C., chief of the homicide section of the U.S. Attorney's Office. He said, specifically, Donald Trump may have criminal exposure for some level of negligent homicide or voluntary, involuntary manslaughter for how he's handled the coronavirus crisis. So as a prosecutor, he's ignoring the fact that, one, we were lied to by China, lied to in turn when the World Health Organization simply stated what China said, denied sending our own people in, And the president still made a decision to stop planes coming from China a full month before many began to realize we've got a problem. And he wants to blame Trump and say he's guilty of homicide, negligent homicide, because he didn't do enough to protect our nation. The same president who said we need secure borders and today worked with Canada to seal off the border for anything other than essential travel and cargo, and has been trying to do the same thing with our southern border, but folks like this MSNBC legal analyst stupido want the borders to be open for more viruses to come across. It's not enough to hold the illegals guilty for negligent homicide or even homicide now. We should go direct to the Democrats, I guess. You're right. I am ticked off that this, in the midst of this, while we're battling this, we've got those sniping on the side. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by an expert who's going to lay out for us some of the issues the virus has exposed, weaknesses inside our health system, but also a chance to learn and improve. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Joining us now is Robert Moffitt with the Heritage Institute and spent years as a senior official with the Department of Health and Human Services. Bob, glad to have you on board, sir.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, this issue about this coronavirus, I've looked at a piece you wrote, and I want to get into details of that. But one of the biggest complaints, and we kept hearing in the beginning, and Dr. Fauci just today added another statement saying you can't blame any test delay on either the president or the CDC. He said it was just a glitch that came about because, well, basically this has exposed some flaws in our system. Your take?
Well, yeah, I think it is a flaw in the system. I think the problem is that on February 5th, as I point out in the article, the Centers for Disease Control deployed the first test, but the problem was the test was faulty, so they had to develop another one. Now, I don't fault them for that. I mean, that's human error. They're doing the best they can under very, very difficult circumstances. The problem is that the CDC created its own test, and the public authorities, the public health authorities, were restricted to using only the CDC test. And that became a problem because you started to see academic, independent academic and research centers develop a test. The one that I cited in the article, actually, there were several, but I cited a research team, you know, at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. They developed a test, and then they were even before they developed the test, they were denied access to the CDC test because it wasn't because Johns Hopkins is not a quote public health lab. Well, that's kind of nonsensical, you know? I mean, we're dealing with Johns Hopkins here. You know, I'm thinking about other institutions that have of similar stature in the health policy right. field, you know, like Mayo Clinic or the MD Anderson, Cancer Center or Sloan Kettering.
And now, because, you know, because they didn't have some registration that they were
bringing
them on? Yeah,
well, they weren't a public health. I mean, in the case of Hopkins, Hopkins could not get the CDC test after the CDC developed the test because it wasn't, quote, a public health institution. You know, it didn't fit, as I said in the article, it didn't fit into the right bureaucratic box. Well, okay, you know, when you're involved, you know, on a day-to-day basis with a lot of normal stuff going on, I guess, okay, you got to take the time to fill out the box. We are now in a national crisis, okay?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, this kind of thing, you know, again, I don't blame the CDC for doing this. They're following the law as they understand it. They're following the regulations as they understand them. But the point is that we have to have a better system in the future. So when something like this happens, we don't have this delay something like testing.
Let me deal on a couple points here. One, I can see where the CDC says we need to make sure it's standardized because you guys start doing everything out there. We don't know we're really doing the same stuff. But then if you have another option, you have another way, let's work together and just open the door. So tell me this. Has that red tape because of this now been cut forever and ever, or could it grow back?
Well, it always can grow back.
Red tape.
Red tape always grows back. But I mean, the Trump administration, I know they've been criticized by a lot of folks, but the Trump administration actually moved very fast on this business. I mean, beginning with the China travel ban and then the European travel ban, and then pulling together, I think he did a great job by pulling together the president pulled together a very fine assembly of health policy experts, and including the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
And private enterprise.
Yeah. And Dr. Anthony Fauci. I mean, right. He's done the job. And they are taking steps to relax regulations that are getting in the way of getting people either tested or treated. But what I'm saying is that if you actually look at what happened with regard to the testing, the CDC and the FDA created a problem here. First of all, by the CDC basically being the only test that public health authorities could use, that was a mistake. The second mistake was that the Food and Drug Administration, was not prepared to give people the go-ahead to use the testing kits that the CDC had. Because, they didn't fit the public health category. It's like the Department of Motor Vehicles. I mean, you can stand in line for a long time if you're just going to check a box. But the truth of the matter is, when you're in a national crisis, you got to think about faster ways of getting things done. The problem here was that the United States, for all of our strength in public health, and we are good. There's no question about it. But, you know, in terms of this testing, the American performance was behind that of Germany and Japan. And, of course, what has become the poster child for fast and efficient testing is South Korea, which has been testing large numbers of people rather quickly. And they're actually getting control of this mess.
You're listening to Robert Moffitt with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in healthcare. Now, tell me how, based on what you were just describing, how you would compare the remarks of Governor Whitmer, Democrat of Michigan, who said the federal government did not take this seriously enough. It's on us to make sure because they were not aggressive enough on the front end.
Well, as soon as this became an issue, Trump banned travel to China.
Right. I pointed that out before you joined us.
Right. I mean, look, this is a novel virus in the sense that we don't know a lot about it. We're learning now it is profoundly contagious. I mean, there's no question about it.
And China was denying it, and the World Health Organization,
right,
January 15th or 13th, echoed their remarks that it's not contagious.
Right. Well, it is very contagious, and the thing is that Trump moved quickly I think doing the right thing immediately, which was on the travel bans, and we know that, you know, the first major problems that took place, were people who were connected with, you know, people who were traveling to China were the ones who came down with, you know, the Americans who came down with the virus.
So now they stop.
And by the way,
yeah.
One more point, Larry.
Sure,
I mean, when Trump went out and did, you know, what was the rational thing at that point, I mean, he got criticism.
Yes.
For acting too fast.
Yes.
Or that he was, you know, that
xenophobic.
This was somehow or other xenophobic
racist.
Or racist or whatever, you know. Absurd. Look, the record on this is going to be very clear. The good news is we have video. we have written and records. We got all of that. And a lot of this stuff is going to be played back. There's going to be an after-action review on all of this about how the government responded to the corona pandemic. And my point was simply this, is that, yes, the big mistake that we made was in the testing and the delay of testing, which was really, you know, it could, you know, a combination of human error and, you know, basically the CDC and the FDA started tripping over each other in the backfield, okay, trying to get the play run.
Right.
But the point is, they've gotten that under control now. The FDA relaxed the guidelines, and as I pointed out in the article, you know, you have a situation now where Roche, an international giant pharmaceutical firm based in in Switzerland, has gotten approval to deploy its own diagnostic test to, you know, detect the coronavirus. That's a very, very good development. Look, we're doing the right thing here.
One other thing, I can't go too far down this road. I'm going to have you back on it, but this has also exposed our reliance on China for prescription and medicines.
Well, not so much, you know, it's for the raw materials of it.
Well, yeah,
you know, not the drugs. I mean, they haven't developed any new drugs.
No, but they assemble there and come back this way.
Assembly plants. You're right. You know, there is a country called India, which is a very democratic country and is very friendly to the United States. You know, they certainly could use the business. I think there's a lot of things we can start doing to break up the so-called supply chain to China. And I think that clearly Trump has had that in mind.
I want to have you back on that subject in detail. But when I began today's program, I said this president is dealing with this as if he's on a war footing that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
A war. You agree?
Well, it is a war footing. I mean, look, we don't know yet how damaging this is going to be. I mean, what we know is that it's highly contagious. Young people oftentimes, many of them are asymptomatic. They get it. They don't even know they have it. They don't sneeze. They don't cough. They don't have any shortness of breath. But, boy, they walk into, you know, a restaurant, and there's somebody there 65 or 70 years of age, and they've got, a heart condition. What they've done is they just put that person in tremendous danger. We've got to watch this. Now, one of the points that I'm making is that the Trump administration should, when this is over, assemble a blue ribbon panel. I'm talking about the best and the brightest minds in the health policy field, in the economics field, in the medical field, that will start to look not only at what went right and what went wrong in this particular instance, but also do a thorough review of the federal regulatory regime that's affecting health care generally. Let me just mention one more thing.
I'm up against a hard break.
Okay, pal.
But I would love to have you back and soon, because you've got a lot more material. Can we arrange that maybe in the future? I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
Can we carry over the break? Can you stand by for the break?
I can go over the break.
All right, you please stand by then. What we would do, I don't want to break off because I don't know what you're going to say, but I know I want to hear it. So here's what we're going to do, folks. I am going to have to go up against this hard break, and we'll be right back with Bob Moffitt, and you will also want to hear this extra idea he has. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And Bob Moffitt, gracious enough to hold over with the Heritage Foundation. He had just said that he wants to see an official top blue ribbon panel evaluate everything we've done after we finished with this virus, but then you had another idea.
Well, yeah, I think we have to undertake a thorough review of the existing federal regulations that govern health care. I mean, I'm talking about something that's thorough. Find out what rules and what regulations are most effective in, you know, making sure that we get quick and efficient and effective, less costly health care, and, you know, and do that. And if some of these rules are going to have to go. Others are others we can maintain. Others we can put on a shelf to say, okay, fine, when there's a national emergency, these things are suspended. Let me just mention the reason why I'm saying this. The danger that we don't know yet exactly how this is going to affect us yet. We still don't know. I think we're in the early stages of the infection. But if the pandemic expands to the point where you're starting to see a lot of nursing homes get hit, a lot of people who are older, retirement communities, for example, are particularly vulnerable to something like this. The danger is that the doctors, the hospitals, and the clinics will be overwhelmed, you know, with serious cases. Now, I think what we need to do is we've got to look at the situation right now with regard to doctors in particular. I don't know how many times you've heard it, Larry, but I have, you know, it's a common refrain where members of the medical profession say that they're sick and tired of dealing with the paperwork, bureaucracy.
Right.
They spend more time checking boxes than they do.
Last time I was in, they had a clinician walking and writing everything down on a computer while the doctor's talking to me.
It's exactly.
The third person in the room.
Right.
Taking notes for the doctor. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I was talking to a top endocrinologist from Arizona just not too long ago. His name is Richard Dolinar, first-class guy. And he was telling me that, you know, talking to his colleagues, they're seeing, he said, 10 to 30% fewer patients than they used to see because of all the time that they spend complying with paperwork, primarily Medicare paperwork, but not just Medicare paperwork. They've got to cross the T's, dot the I's in order to make sure that the document is correct, and they have to justify the level of coding.
You know what this is doing? It's pushing us to socialize medicine.
Well, I mean, what it is that the level, yeah, I mean, a lot of doctors saying, well, you know, but these are government coding requirements, okay?
Right.
I mean, this is not, you know, this is not something dreamed up by Blue Cross Blue Shield. I mean, they use it, but,
right,
it, you know, it's government, these are government coding requirements. Now, here's the point. What we have to do is we have to figure out how to deal with this, because instead of spending, instead of basically giving the doctors a chance to, you know, quickly write down, and I know what the problem is with doctors writing, but write down their evaluation, what the patient, you know, I understand all that. But, you know, instead of, you know, having one or two pages, as Dolinar points out, instead of having one or two pages of a clinical description, they have, you know, under the current rules, they're gonna spend, you know, it's 8 or 9 or even 10 pages that they have to put together. So the bureaucracy and the paperwork are contributing to burnout among physicians. Now, here's the point: it's bad enough that they have to deal with this when they're dealing with normal Medicare patients under normal medical circumstances. Now we're faced with a real crisis. So I think what they have to do is, if the Trump administration is going to continue to do what it's doing, look, they've done the right thing by looking at FDA regulations and CDC rules. They're doing it. I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But they also ought to look at the rules that are governing doctors, in particular the coding requirements that we're imposing on physicians and the electronic medical record requirements that we're imposing
on
doctors.
I'm all in favor, and I know many.
Just to, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe what we'll do, maybe what we'll do is we'll say, look, you know, we'll keep them, but in a national crisis like this, they got to go.
And in a final 40 seconds or so for you, will all of this and this, what we learned this time around, will it come into play next time, or will we have to go back to square one?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I know an awful lot of people don't like Donald Trump's personality, but there's one thing that always came clear to me, and that's really true. The guy is decisive. I mean, he is decisive. He has been very decisive. And I think that because he's decisive, we're going to get a better situation. I think they've got to take their time. What I'm talking about is after this is over,
right?
If it takes 6 months to a year, do the review that is necessary of the Good. To the existing federal regulatory regime.
And do it without politics involved. I thank you very much. I also thank you for being gracious enough to hold over. I didn't want to cut you off, and I definitely want to hear what you had to say, sir.
Okay, Doc Larry. Thank you very much calling me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Bob Moffitt, a health expert, spent a lot of time with the Health and Human Services as well, now with the Heritage Foundation, and very enlightening, and he's right. We need to get rid of all these regs, and then we need a full review of what we've done right and wrong in dealing with this virus. Well, we've set the stage for tomorrow because there will be another chapter tomorrow, and I've got a lot of material I didn't even get a chance to get to today, and there will be more developments tomorrow. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Go to our Facebook, share it with others, hear the podcast. Tomorrow, here, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.